Amen. Well, again, let me say it's good to see you all here. I got some things on my heart I just want to lay out before you. I just praying the other day, and I was just walking along, and all of a sudden, you know those suddenlies, when the Lord just begins to say, this is what I want you to share at 8:30. So, and I remember being years ago, when I was a Methodist, some of you would remember this, when we had revival meetings, we have morning and evening. May not get anybody saved, but you'd wore out, time is over. And we'd go home and eat lunch with somebody, and then we'd go eat dinner with somebody before we went to church, and, you know, the pastor always grew a little. But anyway, I remember one morning about maybe this many people was in the service, the morning service, and I'm getting ready to get up. And I said, Lord, he said to me, I want you to give an altar call for somebody to get saved. I said, Lord, this is a morning service and a revival meeting. Nobody here lost. He said, give an altar. Well, I argued with him. Obviously, he won. And I just got up and I said, the Lord just told me there's somebody here that wants to give their heart to Jesus. I said, if they said you, would you come? You know what? Four people got up and got saved. And I was about to talk myself out of it. And I'm just telling you, what I want to talk to you about is what does it mean to be twice born? When you go to heaven, there's only one kind of people in heaven, twice born people. And so if you have your Bible, go over to John chapter 3, a very familiar passage. But I know I have to talk fast because of the time restraint, and I understand that one. But let's look at it. Chapter 3 of John, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. And notice he was a ruler. He was a very religious man. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God, I'm sorry. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That was the logical, human, natural explanation. Verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, water and the Spirit. He's going to tell you what it is in the next verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's water. And that which is born of the Spirit, that's the Spirit side. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let me just say a word or two about that very quickly. I thought it very interesting in this conversation that a very religious man and Jesus was having of the words that were used. So I jotted them down. The word unless, Jesus used twice. The word cannot, he used three times. The word must, he only used once. Why must we be born again? Why? Well, let me go back. Back in the Garden of Eden, Adam was perfect before God, spirit, soul, and body. It was in the Garden of Eden when sin came, his spirit died. Paul says it very clearly in the New Testament. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. So everybody since Adam has not been born spiritually alive. Physically, emotionally, yes. Spiritually, no. So when you get born again, that's what Jesus said. Notice, how many know you can't come again in here till you've been here once. So that's, we who are born physically must be born of the Spirit in order to be a child of God and go to heaven when you die. So he didn't, how many know what he didn't say? He didn't say it'd be good if you were. It'd be nice. Your kids would love it if you'd get right with God. It says you must be born again. And notice the word see said it once. The word enter said it once. Born again, he referred to it five times. So, if we must be, then I must have a testimony of when I was born again. How many of you, nobody wakes up in heaven and go, huh, well, I wasn't planning on being here. You may wake up in the other place and say, I wouldn't plan on this either, but you're there. Because, listen to me, just good people don't go to heaven. Methodists don't go. Baptists don't go. Catholics don't go. Baptists, you can fill in the blank. Only twice born people enter into the kingdom of God called heaven. Only those folks. So, if it's that important and it's eternal, it is. So, let me give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me. So let me talk to you about the journey. Here's my desire. Not one of you, either online listening or here, will walk out those doors in a few minutes without knowing that you know that you know. I've been born again. I'm going to heaven when I die. Glory to God, I'm secure in Him. That's the dream this morning that I have. So here's the first word. Where do we begin? Here's where you begin. Conviction of sin. Now, I don't know, again, if you have your Bible, but if you do, go to 2 Corinthians. I talk fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Listen to it. This is the word of the Lord. Paul said, godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. How many of you know you can't repent? I've heard people go, well, I'm going to get right with God just before I die. Really? Really? You don't repent without God's gift of repentance given to you. How does that gift of repentance come? With a godly sorrow. So what is a godly sorrow? Well, let me just say it to you like this. Jesus said it in John 16:8. When the Holy Spirit comes, listen to me, when the Holy Spirit comes, this is what he'll do. He'll convict me of my sin. He will convict me of righteousness. He will convict me of judgment. Convict. You know what convict means? And you know, and I'm not an attorney. When an attorney wins a case, well, we won the conviction, right? Conviction means simply proven guilty. How many of you know, without God's grace, we are, listen to me, a hopeless case. I mean, do you think for one second we could get good enough to bridge the gap between God and us? No. Why? It's because we have not the ability to redeem ourselves. There's nothing in us good apart from Jesus. So it starts with a conviction of sin. Now listen, godly sorrow produces repentance. The other side, it's right here in the text. The sorrow of the world produces death. You know what the sorrow of the world is? The best illustration I have is this. If you were to go down to the jail this morning, some old boys got drunk last night and got caught. They hate it. They're repenting over that. But they'll probably be back down there next Saturday night. Because godly sorrow is this. Listen to me carefully. The fruit of wrong living that makes you feel bad does not convict you and bring repentance. It brings death. Because it circles the mountain and never, never settles a yes. And yet there's a lot of people. I mean, I've been doing this thing a long time, since 1967. How many people I've dealt with, they feel awful about. I mean, I've got cirrhosis of the liver. I only drink a quart a day. And they feel awful about it. I can understand that. Listen, godly conviction brings guilt and shame to your heart. See, we live in a world, everybody feel good. I want to leave church feeling good. Okay? And I say amen. I believe we ought to leave church knowing that I'm saved, born again, going to heaven. I rejoice in that. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Eating bad apples don't change the apple tree. Living the fruit of a bad life or unredeemed, unborn again life does not make me want to repent and get right with God. It makes me want to get out of my mess, but keep on living the way I did before I got in the mess. That's my definition of a worldly sorrow. So the first thing happens to everybody. There's nobody repents over anything you're not convicted of. I mean, that's just the Bible. That's what the Bible. If you're not convicted of, you won't repent of it. How many of you know that you've messed up and said, Lord, if you hadn't have given me that wife, I wouldn't get angry like this. How many of you know that came right out of Adam? How many of you know that Adam and Eve messed up and God shows up and this is our conversation. And God said, what are you doing? What happened? It's that wife you gave me. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what the Bible says? It's that wife you, the reason I'm in a mess, it's she's to blame. Hey, you know, he wasn't repenting. He couldn't. He was not convicted yet. All right, so that's the first one. I got her. The second one, from conviction, will come a confession. This confession is in Romans 10. You know what Paul said in Romans 10? I love this. If you, how many of you know faith don't work in your head? That's the reason we struggle with it. We try to operate it here. Faith don't operate here. Faith operates here. Now, obviously, it passes through. Paul said in Romans 10, 9 and 10, so with the heart we believe, right? We got that. With the heart we believe. With the mouth we do what? Confess. What's the word there? It's homo, logia, homo, same, logia, a word. Same word. What do we say? I believe. What do I believe? I believe Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. I believe that he died. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose again. I believe he ascended to the right hand of the Father. I believe that. Therefore, I believe that in my heart, and I confess with my mouth. Then Paul said you can be saved. How many know you don't get saved going through a class and somebody says, here's your certificate. Can you imagine walking up to God and go, here's my certificate? Come on now. I mean, God, what do you mean certificate? Well, and the Lord would say, only twice born people come in here. And so twice born is not a suggestion. You know, one of the things I found out that blessed my socks off, that the Lord, when you get twice born, when you get born again, the Lord purifies your heart. You go, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me read you the scripture just in case you have a question. Here's what it says. Acts 15:9. He, Jesus, makes no distinction. Peter's talking about the Jew and the Gentile. He makes no distinctions between us and them, purifying, katharos, their hearts by faith. When you get saved and the Lord said, welcome, you are forgiven, you are my child, I can tell you, you have a pure heart. You don't have a grown-up life. You have a pure heart. The only way to get sin out of your heart is the new birth. You can't do it any other way. Why did we ever come up with this idea? Well, I go to church. Devil goes to church. I mean, no, going in a chicken house don't make you a chicken. Going in a cow, you don't come out moving on the other side. Coming to church, you don't come out born again. Born again, twice born, is a choice. I am convicted of my sin, and then I believe Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. I believe it in my heart. I repent of my sins. I turn one. People say, well, what about water baptism? Water baptism is your testimony of your faith. If all you do is get water baptized, you just come out wet like you went in. I mean, I got water baptized this morning before I came to church in a shower. But I came out of there like I went in. Faith precedes the water. Are you listening? Faith, we are saved by grace and faith, and the water is our amen to our faith. Hallelujah. I believe. I believe that water baptism is part of God's plan for salvation. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with putting it up front and not where it belongs. So, first thing is conviction. The second thing is confession. I'm confessing. I agree. I can remember it. I say it quickly. I've said it before. I got saved in a little Methodist church stuck out in the country in DeKalb County. Got saved that morning, went home to be with Mom and Dad. We had lunch with them, and Dad was so happy I got saved. He told everybody who came to see us that day, I got saved this morning. I'm just saying, I guess. Yeah. I guess I did. Because between the church building and Mom and Daddy's house, for the first time I heard a verbal voice that said, "So you think you got saved?" I said, "I thought I did." That night I went back to church. The preacher looked at me, Brother Gilbert Poulter, and said, "Doc, it's customary when you get saved in here, you stand up and tell it." And I stood up and I said, "This morning I gave my heart to Jesus and I've been born again." When my bottom hit that pew, I knew that I knew that I knew. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I've never doubted. Why? Because my heart believed, then my mouth agreed. That's the reason when I lead somebody to the Lord, I say, "What happened to you?" "Well, I just got saved. Where's Jesus?" "He's in my heart." If I ask them and they go, "Where's Jesus?" "He's in heaven." "Let's pray." Come on now. If he's still in heaven and he's not in your heart, you didn't get in on it yet. God's not out to get us. How many know? I like the old story of the fellow out working outside his house, and a little thunderstorm came up. Lightning struck a tree right where he was working. He lit out to the house running, scared half to death, hollered, "Lord, I almost got lightning struck." And he said, God said, "If I'd been aiming for you, I'd have got you." How many know if God wanted you, he'd get you? Come on now. How many of you know? Listen to me. How many know the Bible said you are created for eternity? You're going to live somewhere forever. So, well, how do you get to this twice born thing? Well, it begins, as we've just been saying, with a conviction. It turns into a confession. Now, watch this. And then it steps into a cleansing. Let me show you this in the Bible. We in Christ, we are made pure. How many of you know the Bible says, in Christ we're complete? Did you know that when you got saved, God called you perfect? I know. We go, "Yeah, but you don't know. I mean, I got a husband that he teaches Sunday school and he got mad yesterday." I didn't say perfect in performance. I said perfect in position. You know, when I was born, 1948, my mom had twins. And when I was born that day at home, weighed 3 pounds. I was a miracle. And so it was a miracle that I'm here. My brother did die. And it's a miracle. So I thank God for that. But how many know when I was born that day, and that doctor, whenever he got there, patted me on the bottom and I cried. How many know I can never be more my dad and mom's son than I am right then. I am a perfect son. I didn't say I live like it. I said I am. When you get saved, God says, in my son, you are made complete. Listen, we grow in Christ, but when we are in Christ, we have a perfect relationship with Christ. Hallelujah. That's hard for us who struggle with life to believe. I didn't say we function properly. I said we have a perfect relationship with God because, and I'm going to share that with you next. So the Lord cleaned you. How many know you can't clean up your mess? Come on now. And we all got some messes. And don't look too sanctified. We all do. How many, you know, I think about this. I've never seen anybody do it, but I've heard of it. People used to play Russian roulette. You know, they take the revolver and spin the chamber and go, click. You go, that's eat up with stupid. I couldn't agree anymore. But did you know there's people walking around on earth who have never been twice born and have no guarantee of the next second? You know how close you are to eternity? All you got to do is just, boom, boom, boom. and you're there. Rushing you, we don't even realize it. We just think, well, one of these days. That's a lie of the devil. But can you think about this? The peace that you have with knowing to live is Christ, to die is gain. That you don't have to put your head on the pillow at night and wonder. You can put your head on the pillow and know. Let me give you a couple of more real quick. My third word is that when you get twice born, you get connected. And you know, you can't join the church. Now, we say it all the time, but you can't join the church. You can join a fellowship, but you can't join the church. How many of you know, if you could join the church, I'd get Larry, and we'd get us a pistol apiece, and I'd just go, come to church and join it, or else. How many of you know, we'd get a big congregation in about 24 hours. You can't join it. We can join a fellowship. I recommend that you join, if this is where your heart is, you join this fellowship. You can't join the church. You're born into a church. You're born into the body. You're twice born. The only way you get into this body is you're born into it. By one spirit, we're brought into the body. That's the second birth. And so we get connected. I found this in Scripture. Let me share it with you real quick. In you know this one. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. Have you know Jesus didn't come to fix up the old man? You know, he didn't want to put a Band-Aid on this and a Band-Aid over here, put a little Miracron or something on me, whatever, over here. Have you know, Jesus come to kill you. He came to get rid of the old man and make you new. How many of you know when you get to heaven, you won't get there with this old wrecked body? Say, how do you think we're going to be when we get there? I don't know. Probably about 30 like Jesus was. But I know one thing. There won't be any blind people, deaf people, crippled people. Fill in the blank. Why? Because we got a new body. But when you get born again, you have a new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now God's working with a new creation, not a patched up one, but a new creation. And then, listen, this just gets me. I mean, this puts me over on shouting God. This is make a Methodist shout. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, 6, and 7, listen to three things real quick. When you get born again, you are adopted. It's what it says. We are adopted. Second thing it says, we become sons and daughters of God. And you know, God don't have any cousins. Only sons and daughters. So I'm adopted. I'm a son of God. And then because I'm a son, I'm an heir. You won't see a rich dude. Just look up here. My father owns the cattle on the Thousand Hills. My father, and he's called me an heir to everything he is and everything he does. That's the twice-born bunch. Come on now. I mean, no wonder we smile a lot. Sometimes we just need to look in the mirror and give yourself a big smile. You rich dude, don't you know that in Christ you have everything you need here, there, and there? Glory to God. That makes me a joint. I'm a joint heir. Do you understand? A joint heir. I didn't say you are connected to the kingdom of God. And let me tell you right now, people, are you secure? Let me tell you right now, no man can take me out of his hand. No government can take me out of his hand. No one can get me out of his hand. Because you didn't put me in there, you can't get me out. Nobody can get you out. Twice born, secure in him. Hallelujah. Well, about preach myself happy. I mean, come on now. When you get to thinking about this, don't it make you happy? I mean, I'll tell you what makes me sad is the millions and the millions and the millions of people that are never been born again, that are lost. If they die, they're going to hell. They're going to spend eternity in hell when there is all of this available. I mean, conviction and confession and cleansing. Now I belong. Hallelujah. When I was in grammar school, most of you wouldn't have no clue, but anyway, because I'm too old. But we had recess. We played games. It was in the summer. We played outside, like softball. And the teacher would say, okay, Tom, you and Doc, choose your team, and with 30 minutes we'd play softball. And if I wasn't choosing, I was always glad when somebody said, Doc, I want you on my team. Yeah. Oh, can I give you some good news? The Lord wants you on his team. But you'll have to come. He won't drag you. But when they said, I want you, I was going, hallelujah. When you get saved, the Lord says, come. Now I'm connected to an eternal team. I don't know what all of what we're living through is going to look like. It probably is going to get worse before it gets better. But let me tell you something. I do know this. I read the last chapter. And those that are connected win. Read the last chapter. Get over there in Revelation. Read the last. Here's what it says. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come on now. Do you see what I'm... This thing is not a roll of the dice. It's ordained that the twice born are going to triumphant. Here, oh, it may be hard, but it doesn't matter. At the end, we still win. So, here's the caution this morning, and I want to labor it a minute. Here's the caution. I've used, the Lord just gave them to me that about the conviction and confession and cleansing and connecting, but there's a danger here. It's called counterfeit. There's a counterfeit being published, pushed, preached, and believed by many. Now, I didn't say all the preachers. I said there's some. The counterfeit is in Matthew chapter 7, and I want you to go there. We're going to end here. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, verse 21, 22, 23, I'll break it down right quick. Jesus, this is Jesus. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is the will of his Father? Listen, you must be born again. Two births. I was talking to a sister in the Lord who was part of the church we were pastoring at the time, and she did attend for I don't know how long a church, and I said, how did you get saved? She said, well, you went to the altar and waited on a sign, and when you got the sign, that was it. Where's that in the Bible? If I am convicted of my sin, I repent of it. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and therefore, with my mouth and my heart, I confess my sin, ask you to forgive me. Yes, I get into the waters of baptism as the testimony of my faith, and I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am a son of God. Wow, it's simple as that. It's so simple. But Jesus said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, you must be born again. Next verse, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? Here it is. It's right in the Bible. I'm reading it, Larry. Here it is. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? In other words, look at all these good works we've done. There is the counterfeit. We are saved for good works. We're not saved by good works. We are born again for good works, but good works don't make us saved. Right here it is. Did we not prophesy, cast out demons? Look at the mighty things we did. Jesus said, because the next verse makes me cry. I'll tell you what, it puts the fear of God in me. Jesus, look, then you can look at it in verse 23. Jesus said, and I will declare to you, I never knew you. Oh my God. Can you think of us? Is there any verse in the whole Bible more terrifying than I never knew you? You never got around to being born again. You never got around to being twice born. Oh, you taught Sunday school, you were in the choir, you worked with you fill in the blank, and that's good. But that wasn't good enough. I never knew you. What did I need to do? John 3, you must be born again. How many of you know, if you don't know when you were born again, there's a possibility that you need to reconsider and just open your heart today to Him. I realize that I'm preaching to the choir. This is an 8:30 service at one of the greatest churches I know, and I don't know who's going to be here. But I know this, God loves you enough that He would have me share this just for one. Because it is not His desire that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So twice born is not just good theology. Twice born is the change of life. I was one of the church we pastored over the years, and happened to be a Methodist at the time. And I would just preach one morning something like this. I don't know what I preached. And so I'm standing just near the altar. There's a Methodist church. Coming down the aisle here was an 85-year-old man. He comes to me. That's what he said. Brother Dot, I've been in this church all my life. I've never been born again. Another Methodist church. I mean, if you're a Methodist for a while, all you got is Methodist stories, but this is a true one. This particular gentleman was in a First Methodist church somewhere. Told me this out of his own mouth. He said, I've been in this church all my life, and when this new preacher came, and the first Sunday I heard him preach, this is what he said. I knew I'd never heard the gospel. And I knew that Sunday I'd either had to get saved or get out. He gave his heart to Jesus and became a leader in that fellowship. So I'm asking, as our worship team, wherever they are, I'm simply asking, would you like to, if there's a conviction, would you like to be as clean and pure as He cleaned the lepers when He said to the lepers, be cleansed, katharos. They were clean, no more lepers. See, sin is spiritual leprosy. Wouldn't you like to be clean? Wouldn't you just love to be connected to a family that no matter where you go, regardless of the color of skin or the background, I'm connected to a family, and then I'm connected to one, and this is not my home I'm passing through. Wouldn't you love to lay down tonight and put your head on the pillow and go, wow, Lord, I'm so glad that I know my sins have been forgiven. And I've been born again, that I've been twice born. And if for some reason I don't see the sunrise, even so come, Lord Jesus. You can't buy that. It's not for sale. But do you know that? Here's what we're going to do this morning. Something, again, a conviction of my heart. Because I've been living what this worship team is about to sing. And I'm going to ask you to just bow your head. I want you to hear the first song about His grace. And then we're going to begin to sing that old hymn we've all heard. And I'm going to invite you to come and join me. Come, Brother Doc, I want to know. My sweetie, my wife June, got saved the same morning I did. And the devil beat her up. I knew I was saved. She didn't tell me she was struggling. The devil was telling her that. Until one morning, I'm sitting in the parsonage, and I see her come through the front door, and she's grinning. Like a cat that ate the canary. I said, "What is it?" She said, "Honey, I know." I said, "What do you know, darling?" She said, "I know I've been born again. I know." Wow. Do you? Randy, bow your heads. Randy, sing it.